Islamic outreach tracts, and I do call them outreach tracts. They're outreach tracts to the Christians. And these were sent to us by a Muslim, including a couple pages of websites, about 100 different websites, evidently feeling that we need to be educated about the truth about Christianity and Jews and about Islam. It seems like there's all just one faith that we're all having, but that's an ecumenical belief that can get us in trouble. We understand that there is a difference between Yahweh of the Bible and Allah of the Quran. And one of the things I noticed, or rather didn't notice, in the booklets that we received was any mention about women. Nothing. And yet we all hear about the stories, about some of the treatments that we hear about. We know that in some Islamic societies, women are not even allowed to drive, let alone be seen. Today I'd like to talk to you about biblical women, scriptures versus the Quran. While the Bible tells us husbands, they tell the husbands, in fact I should have probably wore my ring today in honor of my wife and in honor of our marriage, we're told to love our wives. Colossians 3 and verse 19, the English Standard Version says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." The Quran says that wives are as tilth. It's an Arabic word meaning a piece of farmland. In other words, property. The Quran teaches that a husband can approach his wife as he wants or how he will. The Quran says in Surah, which is Arabic for chapter 4, verse 34, says, "As to those women on whose part ye fear disloyalty and ill conduct, admonish them first, refuse to share their beds, and last, beat them lightly." I don't know how you can beat anyone lightly. The word lightly isn't in the Arabic text. This was added by a commentator, yet Muslims believe their text is not adulterated or changed in any way. This is what they're promoting. 1 Peter 3, 7 through 10. "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." Not only are husbands told to love their wives in the Bible, they are told to honor them. In the Quran, they're told to cover up and not be seen, but by family only, essentially. I also don't think the Quran teaches that any woman were prophetesses or even a judge, yet this is what we find in Scripture. Exodus 15, 19 through 21. "For the horses of Pharaoh," this is coming out of Egypt, "for the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and Yahweh brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her, with timbrels and with dancing. Miriam answered them, 'Sing to Yahweh, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea.'" And I read a commentary one time where it was suggested that the sea had actually been frozen over by the winds. But in reading this, I don't think that that's a possibility, because it talks about the waters coming over. So there's some different commentaries out there, but not all of them agree. Interestingly enough, these booklets that we've received, they don't all agree either. One will say Moses was a Jew, and the other one says Moses was not a Jew. How could you be so stupid, essentially? How could you be so ignorant? Is the wording that's used. And yet we find misunderstanding even among these booklets. If you remember Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments movie, you'll no doubt remember that it was Israel that came out of Egypt. But a recent version with political correct wording talked about all humanity coming out of Egypt. A little different, appealing to a broader audience. The women of the Bible, however, wouldn't have made that mistake. They know who Yahweh was and even prophesied in his name. 2 Kings 22:15-20. She said to them, "Thus Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me." This is Prophetess Huldah. "Thus says Yahweh, behold, I bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to the other gods, that they might provoke me to anger and with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of Yahweh, thus shall you say to him, thus says Yahweh Elohim of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before Yahweh, when you heard that what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolate or desolation and a curse. And you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I truly have heard you, declares Yahweh. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your graves in peace. And your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." So they brought back word to the king. Beyond women prophets being mentioned in Scripture, there was a woman judge who was, as well, a prophetess herself. No doubt at a time in Israel's history when the men were weak because of their sins, Yahweh allowed a woman to rule. Even today, there are women ruling in different countries, Argentina, the Philippines, India, etc. The Scripture bears out the fact that Deborah was a capable judge. Judges 4, verses 4 through 5 out of the Scriptures. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Labadoth, was ruling Israel at the time. And she was dwelling under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for right ruling. So they knew enough to go to her. She spoke the truth. And even around here, the Bible studies, we have a new believer coming in. The women can speak and speak the truth, and we have no problem with this. But here, Yahweh is giving instructions through and allowing a woman to rule his people. I don't think you'll find this in the Quran. One thing about women, you'll find some Muslims teaching about how there are virgins waiting for young men who give up their lives for Allah. But the Scriptures teach that would be quite a worthless reward to have, as it appeals only to the flesh. What do I mean by that? Matthew 22 and verse 30. "For in the resurrection they shall neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of Yahweh in heaven." That means they'll be spiritual and not physical. The Quran exonerates Yahshua as a prophet. Do Muslims know what Yahshua said here? I suspect that they will say it was a mistake and a lie and not like the Quran. And they'll point to scriptures like Elder John did today, which there really shouldn't be any confusion. It's just a deeper understanding that we can gain if we really look at Yahweh's word for what it is, the truth, and not confusion. We did a Revealing the Truth recently, and it was brought out that one of the booklets that we received was full of confusion. It's confusing. Not only are they teaching confusing things, they're teaching others this confusion. And regrettably, if we are not grounded in Scripture, and I think Scripture talks about this, that even the elect could possibly be deceived. I'm amazed at some of the things I'm reading in their booklets. I mean, this is coming from directly from Islam, Muslim outreach, their Dawa, I think they refer to it as. But it's interesting. A quote from the Christian-Muslim Dialogue by H.M. Bagul, M.D. The Quran, it is the last revealed book which has never been corrupted or adulterated. Its contents have been guaranteed by Allah in Surah 2:2. This is the scripture whereof there is no doubt. All other books, Torah, Psalms, Gospels, etc., have been adulterated in the form of additions, deletions, or alterations from the original. That statement alone would put a lot of doubt into a Muslim who maybe is trying to research Yahweh's word, the scriptures, to see if maybe there's some truth. You know, they actually teach that the scriptures are truth, and yet in the same sentence they'll say that it's corrupted. So what do we have? Confusion. Many of the women we know are subjugated to a great degree under conservative Islam, and I wonder what they would think about women teaching their children out of the scriptures. Even just the Old Testament. After all, the Dead Sea Scrolls proved that the Bible, the Old Testament that we have today, Torah, Psalms, writings, that word for word, letter for letter, is unchanged. Roughly 1,000 years have passed, no changes. What did the women teach out of during the first century of the Common Era? The grandmother and mother taught Timothy out of the Old Testament. We read of that in 2 Timothy 1:5, but I want to go to 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Messiah Yahshua. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this is a lesson even to the Christians who say that the law is done away with. I don't think that they understood that in the first century. Not the believers. Not the believers of the way, Yahweh's way. They had the writings, the Torah, the Psalms, the writings. The Tanakh, if you would. Jude 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it necessary to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. Who does the Bible identify as the saints? It's those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the faith in Yahshua. Commandments, like keeping the appointed times of Yahweh, mentioned in the Torah. Does the Quran teach that their wives and daughters, let alone themselves, keep Passover or the Feast of Tabernacles or any of the other appointed times? They're saying the scriptures are correct and true, except when they come into some difficulties and they'll say, well, that was added, or that's not right. Oh, yes, we believe in the Messiah, but the Son of Yahweh, we don't think so. And all these scriptures that point to him being the Son of Yahweh, those are incorrect. What does Scripture say? Those who deny the Son of Yahweh are lying. So to answer the question, it's simply no, unless they have come into the faith which was once handed down for all. For all that would believe, all that would accept. And of course, that message went to the Jew first, and then to Israel. And there's some confusion about that in the booklets we've been reading. One that I was reading through yesterday actually goes in quite a bit deeper and has a better understanding than what we went over in a recent Revealing the Truth program. And interestingly enough, maybe I shouldn't get into it here, but there's some resources that we are aware of, and they gained insight. But they're using it to try to teach and get Christians, essentially, to look at the Quran and confirm Allah and Muhammad as his prophet, and come over to the other side, essentially. Today we have the scriptures, both old and new, New Testaments, that is, to learn and teach from. Any books written centuries later through a people whom the promises are not even for doesn't work. One has to seek the old path, the true path, the one that leads to salvation in Messiah Yahshua. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the promises and who those are for. But in Galatians 3:26, men, women, etc., all in Messiah. Galatians 3:26-29, for ye are all the children of Yahweh, by faith in Messiah Yahshua. For as many of you as have been baptized into Yahshua, our Messiah, have put on Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Messiah Yahshua. And if you be Messiahs, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Children of Yahweh, quoted here, is one of the arguments put forth by Muslims who are teaching from Scripture to show that Yahshua is not the begotten Son. Because there are scriptures like this which show all are sons of Yahweh, that come into the faith. Yet, when taking this all in, it speaks about the promises of being an heir and part of the promise through Abraham's seed. Who are the promises for? Or who are the promises through? Scripture is clear. They are through Isaac and not Ishmael. The one whom the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, comes through. Through Israel, the tribe of Judah. The one tribe that the Quran thinks less of than Christians. They actually promote that Jews are less than Christians. So there's some sort of level there. And that's exactly the opposite of what we find in Scripture. I mean, it went to the Jews first, lifting them up. So, confusion. The confusion is being presented. We need to go to Yahweh's Word to find the truth. And in it, we find not only truth, but freedom. Not freedom to do our own will, but freedom to do lawful things, the will of Yahweh. Now, certainly, one can join Israel through the Messiah, even Muslims. That's what is pointed out here in verse 28 of Galatians 3, which says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Messiah Yahshua. If you dedicate your lives to Yahweh through his Son, you are grafted in. It's a whole process. He becomes our elder brother. We become part of the family. And we accept his will. Now there's in Messiah, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female. Now wait a minute, last time I checked, I was still a male. So what's it saying? It's saying we're one. One in the body. One in Messiah. And this includes those of Ephraim, if they want to come and be a part of Israel and be a part of this great work and of the good promises and rewards that are coming. Eternal life. Not 70 virgins that are brunette and black-eyed that appeal to young men. Where does that leave the women? Do they get 70 virgin men that are brunette and tall and handsome? It just doesn't make any sense. You are all one in Messiah Yahshua. Acts 18, 24 through 28. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man and had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Master, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Yahshua accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, husband and wife, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of Elohim more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, I think that's how it's pronounced, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Yahshua was the Messiah. You know, we're in a difficult situation. Not only are we in between Jews and Christians, now we're dealing with Islam that is coming into the picture in a bigger way. And I think we're going to see this continue in a bigger way. So we have to stand our ground, teach the truth, and bring out some of the errors that we're seeing promoted, just like we do with Christianity, just like we do with Judaism. We're going to have to, I think, do it for Islam and the different beliefs that are just not in line with Yahweh's will for us. But notice that not only men, but women helped teach and bring a better understanding to this man, Apollos. Some scholars, in fact, believe that he may be the one who wrote the book of Hebrews. We just don't know. But we know that he was being taught more out of the scriptures about Yahweh's ways. It may be that he was learning more about the spiritual aspects in the new covenant. This is one thing that is emphasized in the book of Hebrews. But the point is, both brothers and sisters in the faith helped. They helped him gain a better understanding of Yahweh's ways. So we all have a part in this. One of the ways we don't find in Scripture is brought out in the Quran. Quran, Surah 4:11 says, "If any of your women are guilty of lewdness, take the evidence of four reliable witnesses from amongst you against them." Not even that jives with Scripture. It says two or three, not four. But it says, "And if they testify, confine them to houses," that is the women I'm pretty sure it's talking about, "until death do claim them, or Allah ordain for some other way." You may remember Rivka Berry. She's a teenage Islamic girl here in America who converted to Christianity and sought protection because she was threatened with death by her own family. They are called honor killings. And Muslim parents have been known to kill their children because they dishonor the family. These are Muslims who follow the Quran. But now it's not just Muslims. Americans are converting. Others are converting. They're American. But now they're claiming to be Muslim or Islamic in the sense of they've converted. They've accepted Muhammad as the prophet. They've accepted Allah as their mighty one. The scripture says, God's many, Lord's many. And we have to be discerning and know what's going on. And, you know, today we had the song, Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, wake up. because the time of trouble is, I think, drawing nigh. And I think it's trouble for some already. We had an email sent to us, a rabbi that I know of over in Oregon, and the headline was, Muslim Brotherhood declares mastership of the world as ultimate goal. You may be aware that they are the preeminent organized group over in Egypt right now. But I found it interesting, some of the things that were read, or that I read in this. They quote Dr. Muhammad Badi, supreme leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, as essentially saying that they want to, install Islamic Sharia law as the law. And of course, in Sharia law, you have different things like Muhammad. If you teach against Muhammad, or if you, I should say, speak against Muhammad, a negative thing, the sentence is death. And there is no forgiveness. It's not allowed. That's why this cartoonist who drew a bomb in Muhammad's turban was sought after to be killed. And I understand, I heard that he evidently was killed. That's their law. It's different from the law we find in Scripture. It's different from this constitution that we have here in America. I remember as a young, I must have been 16 or 17, but I had enough sense that from what my dad had taught me about Scripture. We were going to the library, and this individual came out with something to sign for the Constitution. It was to help keep the Constitution in place or something. And even at that age, I knew enough to not be involved with that. That didn't concern me because I knew there was something better. Yahweh's kingdom. That's what we need to be focusing on. That and his righteousness that's coming and is here in part for those that obey him and those that are in Messiah. But now we see new things. I suspect we'll see over time maybe Muslims with booklets out and about. They're already starting to mail them. They've been printing them for quite some time. So, but I found this interesting. It says here, Jimmy Carter, who not only is very pleased with Egyptian elections, despite widespread allegations of voter fraud against the Muslim Brotherhood, but when asked if U.S. Should be concerned about Islamic victory, said, I don't have any problem with that, and the U.S. government doesn't have any problem with that either. We want the will of the Egyptian people to be expressed. I thought this was laughable because I watched a documentary on how they treat the Coptic, which are the Christians in Egypt. They're living in slums, recycling plastic. The stench is so bad that it's almost overwhelming. They have to, people coming into that area have to cover their mouth. There are swine that the Egyptians keep there to eat up refuge. And these are, the Christians are being forced to live in these areas. Jimmy Carter should take a trip to Egypt and see what's going on for his people. Because I think he claims to be a Christian, unless I'm mistaken. So, I understand there's a bit of an exodus of Christians leaving that that area because I understand that they can't even get proper papers and such licenses and things because they don't submit to Allah and his prophet Muhammad. We had a Jewish couple, well, at least she was, from England, and they told us some of the things that are going on in England for them while they were there, that she was taunted and essentially spat upon and these type of things. And it's becoming very Islamic over in some areas. The government has accepted Sharia law in the sense that they allow the community of Islam there to enforce their Sharia law within their own community. I remember what she said. She said, what is happening in England is coming here. And I think it was Arkansas or something they had recently where there was a bill introduced to try to prevent creeping Sharia law. That is, stop it before it even starts. And it was thrown out and rejected basically under the premise that it's just, you know, why fix something that's, or, you know, why try to fix something that's not broke? Or there's not a problem with that. They don't see a problem with it. So they're just disregarding it. But I think a number of people are starting to see a problem with it. And when you see what's happening over in Israel right now, it's intense. I mean, we, in fact, Al Sharia, I think, Al Jazeera, it's a news broadcast, they were hindered from broadcasting because they came under attack technical-wise by Iran and scrambled their signal. Iran doesn't like what they're showing everyone. They're showing the facts about what's happening in the Middle East. And so, you know, you see some Arabs trying to go in and help Syria, and they're having to withdraw and saying Syria is like in the going towards civil war. And so you have these conflicts even among the Muslims and such, but it appears to be a rising of some sort of possibly a kingdom. And of course we know about scripture that talks about the king of the south, king of the north, and these things will come about. So here we are, looking, seeing, not necessarily worrying, but being aware, certainly. And we're going to have to be aware. There are irreconcilable differences between the scriptures and the Quran, not only speaking about women, but many other things as well. Hopefully we'll be able to touch upon some of those at another time. As we see Islam rising in the Middle East and other parts of the world, including our own country, we should be aware of what their belief system is. It is different from what the Bible teaches.